What's up, guys? Welcome back to The Committee, home of college football. Today, we have a special episode for you guys. We have an emergency podcast where we are going to be talking about, of course, OU and Texas are reportedly seeking to join the SEC. This came out as a story only 2-3 days ago that Oklahoma and Texas were interested in joining the SEC and that they had been talking about it for a bit. I thought, okay, that's interesting. Maybe, you know, maybe in a few years we'll see. They'll talk about it. Well, maybe something don't get done with it. Who knows? You know, it's an interesting concept. Got people talking. People were talking about OU and Texas moving over. Today, absolute madness. As it's now been announced that it's so much further progressed than anyone could have imagined. Apparently, already, Texas and Oklahoma are considered to be gone from the Big 12. According to Kirk Bowles, the move to the SEC for the two is almost done, and it could become official within the next week. Apparently, both athletic programs, Texas and Oklahoma, are planning to inform the Big 12 of their plan that they will not renew the grant of rights that expire in 2025. Basically, just acknowledging, telling the Big 12, we're done, we're gone. Of course, they're trying to get away sooner. Many reports have seen it would be too late this year, of course, as the season's coming up in just about a month. That's way too close. But I've seen many things saying that next fall, starting in 2022, OU and Texas could be in the SEC, which is crazy. I would not have thought that. Even 1 week ago, someone told me that in 2022, I could be going to an SEC school. I would say, I'm good. I'm not trying to transfer. But now it looks like I may just be. The SEC has already talked about it amongst their schools. It is a well-known fact now that the SEC voting on this move would result in a 13 yes to 1 no ratio. Of course, the 1 no being Texas A&M. Unfortunately for you Aggies, Texas A&M is scared. They are so scared. I don't know why they're trying to act like they're not. I've seen many Aggie fans posting about what Jimbo said, that, oh, I bet they would. OU and Texas want to join the Big 12. Sure they would. Okay, shut, like, no. Okay, Texas A&M, little too big for your own good. Head's a little too big there. You're not on that level. Texas is Texas A&M's daddy, so they should be scared. A&M has, what they have right now is the only footprint in the SEC in the state of Texas, which definitely has been helping them go a long way with recruiting. And that would pretty much just be diminished, as Texas and Oklahoma moving to the SEC would, I mean, their recruiting should boom. And of course, not even only to mention recruiting, but the level of play in the SEC. I've seen many people online, many uninformed idiots on Instagram, wherever, saying, oh, OU and Texas joined the SEC, they're going to do terrible, they're going to get killed every single game. No, that narrative is so stupid. I can't believe there are so many fools out here who say the SEC is a gauntlet every single game. Every single game, wrong. Is the SEC the best conference? By far, yes, by far. And still, it is not a gauntlet like these people keep saying it is. You have teams like Kentucky, Vanderbilt, Missouri, Arkansas, who've just been terrible, terrible programs for the most part. And then not to mention the average schools in the SEC. LSU went 5-5 last year. Auburn was bad last year. I mean, it is not the absolute super conference that these fans claim it is. And I just want to assure you, with a move to the SEC, in my affiliation to the University of Oklahoma as a student there, I am not going to become one of these SEC fanboys who roots for the conference. That is another thing. I cannot believe that is a real thing, that there are people who are just SEC fans. I have seen so many people online say that they're SEC fans. How are you a fan of a conference? How? I don't understand that. If you want to, sure, would I root for Baylor to beat Gonzaga in the national championship game? Be like, oh, bring a title back to the Big 12. Sure, whatever. It's not really that big a deal. It's like, I don't really care, whatever. But for the SEC people, they act like they are just one big team, which makes no sense. Pretty much, it is some sort of cult there, you know, similarly related to that of College Station with these deluded people. So A&M is scared. Unfortunate. Sorry to tell you, Aggie fans. A&M is so scared of Texas. I can't even tell you. The fact A&M threatened to get lawyers, legal stuff, all of this involved, just to keep Texas out of stealing their recruiting and their thunder in the state. I mean, it couldn't be more clear how scared Texas A&M, and not to mention, Texas isn't even the better team coming over. It's clearly Oklahoma, the six-time defending Big 12 champion, who, just for the record, would definitely be able to hold their own weight in the Southeastern Conference, which, and I believe Texas would too as well. Both schools' recruiting would improve immensely. The fact that people online act like they're going to just be a bottom feeder is ridiculous, like they're not blue blood schools. Texas A&M joined the SEC and has only been better since then. Before Texas A&M joined the SEC, those last few years in the Big 12, they were not very good. They moved to the SEC and they've become a better program, despite being in the tougher conference, and they're making more money. So pretty much a win-win for them, except, you know, they can't win their own division. Not a shot, you know, Alabama. I mean, Oklahoma and Texas would not have won that division any of the years either. Because, you know, Alabama, that sucks. You know, hopefully Bama can fall off a bit. So what we've been seeing, though, for how the SEC would look. The first thing that I've seen proposed, I saw via the SEC Network a few days ago. Or I think it was 1 or 2 days ago, once the report initially came out, that there could be, they did a hypothetical realignment of pods. So basically, pods are like NFL divisions, four teams. So there would be four pods in the SEC instead of two divisions, as it is right now with East and West. So let's take a look at the proposed SEC alignment if Texas and Oklahoma join the conference. Pod A, Florida, Georgia, Kentucky, South Carolina. Two powerhouses, you know, South Carolina has its times, but, you know, whatever. Pod B, Bama, Auburn, Tennessee, Vandy. So pretty good pod there, obviously. Tennessee and Vandy, same thing, Bama, Auburn, I get Auburn, Auburn's not really a powerhouse, but, you know, Bama makes up for that. They make up the slack. Pod C, you got LSU, Mississippi State, Ole Miss, and A&M. Same thing. Two debatable powerhouses, two. And Pod D, Arkansas, Missouri, OU, and Texas. Pretty much the same thing. Although Texas is definitely not, it's not debatable. They're not a powerhouse right now. So that's what it would look like. Here's what they, so the SEC, of course, does 9 conference games per year out of the 12 regular season games. So you'd play the other three teams in your pod each season. You'd play 2 against each of the other pods, and it would set up where you are hosting every team at least once every 4 seasons. So basically, a student would host every single team at least once during their college career. But if you look at the scheduling for this, it would set up for, let's just take a look at Texas's hypothetical schedule here to see what Texas would do. And I guess for the pods A, B, and C, Texas has two opponents from there. I will randomly pick the, you know, just have to be random to see, because, of course, the SEC schedule is very tough, but not as tough as people say. You're not playing every single powerhouse every single year. A&M had one of the hardest schedules ever a few seasons ago, and that is not expected. And that was, they played Clemson too, of course. That's not going to be happening every year. So let's take, this would be Texas's in-conference schedule. It would be Oklahoma, who they already play, Arkansas, who they're going to play this year, Missouri. I mean, it's Missouri. That's their pod. Let's take a look at different pods. Pod A, let's say they play Florida and South Carolina. At the moment, you'd give them a loss there and a win to South. If you're just going straight up, you give them 1-1 there. Let's take pod B. You give them Auburn, Tennessee. There, I'd say likely to go 1-1 and the current status of Texas. Pod C, they're going to be playing A&M every year. That's the report. Every single year they'd be playing A&M. So I don't know how that would work with the pod. Honestly, I think A&M and Texas would be in the same pods if that were to be the setup. But this one doesn't have that. Whatever. We'll give them A&M. We'll give them Ole Miss. Currently, I give them 1-1 there. So you give them... I would put Texas at 5-4 in the conference based off of that schedule. Wins over Arkansas, Missouri, Tennessee, South Carolina, Ole Miss. Losses, Florida, Texas A&M, Oklahoma, and Auburn. And you could, I mean, that's just straight up how I see it, 5-4. It's not, of course, it's average, but with what I don't get why people aren't understanding. The SEC's recruiting prominence would translate immediately to Oklahoma and Texas. Texas and Oklahoma are among the best recruiting schools in the country already. And then put them into the SEC, give them that extra bonus of recruiting. And I think you've got complete powerhouses. It should benefit both programs immensely. And it's, you know, it could take a few years for Texas. I believe Oklahoma is national contender level right now. Texas not there yet. So we'd have to see there. But if you go take a look at the team rankings of the 2022 class right now, let's go 21. The current site, the upcoming class that's already been done, said and done, for almost the most part. You know, JT Tuilomalau kind of tried to pull that further. Oklahoma is sitting at 10th on 247. Texas at 15th. This is an off-year recruiting for Texas. Texas has been higher than that pretty much every other year. 8th in 2020. You go look at 2019, they were 3rd. Not to mention A&M 4th there. That's important to note, as that would not be the case if A&M was in the Big 12. OU was 6th that year in 2019. Take a look ahead to 2022. Obviously not a completed class. Oklahoma sitting at 5th, Texas at 10th. Texas with 9 4-star commits already, OU with 8 4-star commits and a 5-star. So really what this is showing you, what I'm trying to say with this, is these schools are ready for the SEC. We put Texas as 5-4 with that schedule. So let's go with OU. Let's give them the other teams. Pod D, you give them 3-0 in their own pod, Arkansas, Missouri, Texas. Just on paper, give them 3-0. Georgia, Kentucky in pod A. That's 4-0 with Kentucky. Georgia, currently, that would be a toss-up. I mean, we'll have to see JT Daniels in the first full season. But Georgia, I would say, although biased, I would give them the win there, 5-0. Pod B, Vandy, Alabama. Bama going to loss, 5-1. Vandy, 6-1, obviously. Pod C, LSU, Mississippi State. Two more wins there. That's 8-1 for Oklahoma. With a loss to Georgia, it would be 7-2 in the conference. OU just went 6-2 in their own conference. Albeit a COVID year, so the schedule was shorter. Oklahoma finished as the sixth best team in the country on decision day, with two losses in the Big 12. So, given that schedule we just gave you there, with a loss to Georgia and Alabama, Oklahoma would sit at 7-2 in the SEC, with three non-conference games left to go. And if OU and Texas are joining the SEC, I assume they'll be doing the SEC's non-conference scheduling, which is cupcakes. So put them at 10-2 there. Debatable 11-1 too. I don't understand why people think that Oklahoma would come in and lose to Florida, Georgia, Bama, LSU, A&M, Auburn. Why? I don't get that. Why that's a thing? People don't respect. Clearly, what it is, the SEC fans do not respect Oklahoma and Texas enough like they should. Texas, although has been down for many years now, is still one of the biggest programs in the country. They bring in a ton of money. Just a mass. Their athletic program, both OU and Texas, win championships in many different sports. These are incredible athletic programs that for some reason the SEC fans try to poo-poo. Makes no sense, because there are programs in the SEC that are garbage. So that is, I mean, they'll be good. Texas and Oklahoma are not going to be struggling in the SEC like people think they would. It would be maybe not a smooth transition, but once they get settled in, I think it would be pretty good. Unfortunately, what isn't going to be good going in the future is the rest of the Big 12. With OU and Texas leaving, the Big 12 is basically done. It's gone. The Big 12 can't survive without OU and Texas. I've seen a report. If OU and Texas are to leave, the Big 12 is going to be looking at other Power 5 programs or other schools such as UCF, Houston, Cincy, BYU, who they think could be good additions. It doesn't matter. Let's say they lose OU Texas, add UCF, Houston, Cincy, BYU to make it a true 12-team conference, Big 12. Now they live up to the name there again. That conference it's not a great conference by any means. People definitely, again, would overrate the additions of UCF, Houston, Cincy, BYU. Although these schools have had good years, UCF had the undefeated season. Houston's had a couple good seasons. Cincinnati, just coming off an undefeated season up until the Peach Bowl. These are one-offs for the most part. One, two good seasons does not mean you a powerhouse program who's going to come in and make the Big 12 solidified with the loss of OU and Texas. Unfortunately, the Big 12 is toast. What we've seen, though, is now the other Big 12 teams who are left in the dust are trying to, they're straggling. They're trying to claw and get into a conference. Seen reports, Baylor, TCU, and Texas Tech are all interested in the Pac-12 and have reached out there. It would be really interesting to see how the teams disperse around the country into other conferences, or what this creates, because obviously the Oklahoma-Texas move is not the end of the realignments, it is the beginning. This would cause it will, because it is going to happen. It's going to cause massive movements across the country. I've even seen, so even though Baylor, TCU, Texas Tech are interested in the Pac-12, the Pac-12 itself has teams, top teams from their conference, who are interested to leave and potentially go to the Big 10 because they're scared that the Pac-12 is not going to be super enough, because with the SEC becoming what people say is super conference, with the addition of OU and Texas, would leave the Pac-12, who was already looked at as the lowest of the Power Fives, just make them pretty much a group of five. So Oregon, USC, schools like that, have already been trying to claw up, reach out to the Big Ten. I don't think we've seen anything from Notre Dame yet. Notre Dame probably doesn't want to join any conferences yet, but they'll be forced to eventually. They're going to have to. But for the rest of the schools, I mean, it's going to have to be some sort of super conference aligned. The Big Ten maybe becomes, I don't know, Big 16. They already got 14, though, with adding Rutgers and Maryland a few years back. It leaves the ACC as what the ACC was already considered weak on the national level due to Clemson's the national eye being on Clemson has made the ACC become more weak in the eyes of many, the ACC has been pretty weak in recent years, and it doesn't help. Florida State and Miami aren't as good as people would think they should be, although Miami, you know, could be having a great year this year, had a pretty good year last year. So the ACC themselves may be a little thrown off by this. Big 12, of course, gone. But the Big Ten is central enough and good enough right now, as it's considered the second toughest conference in the country, that the Big Ten would be able to survive. Possible pickups for the Big Ten, of course, they could look for those Pac-12 schools. Obviously, Notre Dame would be a massive get for the Big Ten. I think that's where Notre Dame should go, should they join a conference, as it's a better geographical location for them than the ACC. The Big Ten could obviously go for Iowa State. Iowa State already plays Iowa every year. They already got the footprint there, so I don't know what the concern is on that. You know, would Iowa want another Iowa school in the same conference and from the same state? Clearly, Texas A&M is not happy about that. Oklahoma State, another good program. And the rest of the Big 12 schools are, for the majority, good programs. Even Kansas, who at the eye level seems like, you know, they suck because it's football, whatever. Kansas basketball brings a massive addition to any conference. So the Big 10 would most definitely be interested in Kansas for basketball, or the Pac-12 for that matter. So it's going to be really interesting to see what happens to the other Big 12 schools and schools looking to join other conferences after this, because this is the first, it's the first few rocks to fall off the mountain. The avalanche is just beginning. It is going to be absurd. I don't know what the SEC is aiming for here. We've got another report I've seen. The SEC could be looking to create a 20-team mega super conference. After adding Oklahoma and Texas, apparently they have been in serious contact with Ohio State, Michigan, Clemson, and Florida State. If the SEC was able to not only expand the footprint, as it keeps being brought up, to Ohio, Michigan, South Carolina, and of course they're already in Florida. Florida rejected Florida State's move to the SEC many years ago. But those big brands, you bring in Ohio State and Michigan, two of the biggest brands in the country, Clemson, who is currently... Clemson, I don't know if you would consider them to be currently a dynasty. If not for Alabama, it would be a dynasty. And Florida State, who is one of the top programs in the country, regardless of their struggles recently, if they brought those brands in after bringing in Oklahoma and Texas, it's over for the rest of the country. That it would be over. Not even at that point, I honestly don't know what would happen, because the SEC would be so good and so have so many brands so dominating that it would really just be, you may as well crown the national champion, you may as well crown the SEC champion as the national champion, which already, you could debate, has already been happening. As in the last 15 national championships, 11 have been won by SEC schools. So really, unfortunately, what it sounds like here, what I'm pushing here, what I'm saying here, is that the SEC would be a monopoly, and all the fanboys, all the morons would be just SEC, SEC, SEC. I don't, you know, the SEC chant, I don't even want to get into that. That is so egotistical, irrelevant, and has nothing to do with a, an individual school, that I'm probably gonna get into it. I don't want to. Of course, we saw the Florida Gators embarrassed at the Cotton Bowl by the Sooners last year, which led to SEC chants from the OU fans across the stadium, including myself. Normally, I wouldn't like to get in on that, but of course, they asked for it. They said they weren't scared of Oklahoma. We saw what happened, regardless of opt-outs. That's too big a blowout to make excuses. So yeah, the SEC would have quite a big ego on their hands. And let's get back to OU and Texas joining for a second. Sorry about that. I want to see their power rankings. I want to see. We already did the scheduling. I had Texas at 5-4. Maybe give them the win to Auburn. And remember, it's just on paper, so maybe Texas will float around 5-4, 6-3 in the SEC this upcoming season based on the schedule we gave them, which randomly selected two pods, which when we'll get to the divisions in a second and get those schedules, see what they say. And we had Oklahoma sitting at 8-1 or 7-2. Obviously, it's going to be tough for anyone to go undefeated in the SEC if OU and Texas join, because even if you say what you want about Texas, still a tough game. You still have to respect this. You still have to respect Texas as an opponent. There's not Vanderbilt. And Oklahoma, one of the best schools in the country, regardless of the 0-4 playoff record. Please do not remind me of that. We're working on it. Hopefully break that this year. Go 2-4. Get two big wins in the playoffs this year. That would be much appreciated from the Sooners. So let's take a look at the SEC Media preseason poll power rankings. And this is based on the current alignment. In the East, we've got Georgia, Florida, Kentucky, Missouri, South Carolina, Vanderbilt. OU and Texas are instantly, automatically ahead of Kentucky, Missouri, Tennessee, South Carolina, Vanderbilt. Instant. That's five teams already they're ahead of. Georgia, Florida, I would put Texas below those two. OU, I'm putting above Florida, just smacked them last year. OU's getting better. Florida is potentially could be getting worse after the loss of Trask, Pitts. We'll see. The explosive offense of the Gators last year may not be the same this year. Kadarius Toney as well, also gone. Debatable with Georgia. So I would have there, now that would be a 9-team division, just putting them to win the 7. You got Texas. Here's how it would go. Oklahoma, Georgia, Florida, Texas, Kentucky, Missouri, Tennessee, South Carolina, Vanderbilt. Again, no cause for concern for the Longhorns or the Sooners. Texas would be able to, they'd be able to move their way around certain years. They'd have good years, they'd have bad years. More good than not, I'd assume, with the recruiting bump. Let's go to the West. We've got Alabama, A&M, LSU, Ole Miss, Auburn, Arkansas, and Mississippi State. Immediately put them, we're putting Texas ahead of Ole Miss, Auburn, Arkansas, Mississippi State there. Although we did have them on the loss to Auburn, we're just going off this poll here. Of course, Ole Miss, with the explosive offense, they have terrible defense, though, shown last year. and Auburn, kind of a floating team, 9-3, 8-4, 10-2. What's it going to be in between? You never know. You know, they don't have Malzahn anymore. We'll have to see. Auburn is a bit of a question. Oklahoma's going ahead of LSU, ahead of A&M, puts OU at 2. Of course, LSU did beat Texas a few years back, but that was not this LSU. That was the LSU. LSU always struggles to have good quarterback play as of recent, except for Joe Burrow. We haven't seen good quarterback play at LSU at all besides that. So we'll flip-flop from there. That gives us, again, near the top, at least, for Texas, and Oklahoma right up there, up at 1 or 2. So again, showing there is nothing to be scared about for OU and Texas joining the big the SEC. I mean, now we can look at it with the new divisions. So geographically, I have constructed the new alignment of the SEC with Oklahoma and Texas joined in. And this is based on just west and east schools that are more west schools, or like, yeah, more western schools, more eastern schools, basically split a line down, take the east, take the west. Of course, it doesn't seem like any conference ever wants to do that. The Big Ten still struggles with that. But here's what we have. So starting in the SEC East, this, of course, is not going to include Oklahoma or Texas. What it's going to be is Florida, Georgia, South Carolina, Vanderbilt, Alabama, Auburn, Tennessee, Kentucky. That is a very, very tough division. As of now, that would be the toughest division in college football, given Alabama and Georgia being two of the top programs in the country. Alabama, of course, the top program in the country. Let's take a look at what then you would consider the SEC West. Now, Texas, Texas A&M, Ole Miss, Mississippi State, LSU, Arkansas, Oklahoma, Missouri. That's the division that that's the division Oklahoma wins. That's straight up. Oklahoma wins that division. Texas puts up a great fight in that division. They, you know, maybe pick up a few wins here or there. We're talking about strictly next year. Oklahoma wins that division. In the East, I'm taking Bama, but of course, Georgia, don't sleep on Georgia. They're going to have a big, big year this year. We'll see. We're going to talk soon about their week one matchup with Clemson, as that will be very exciting. But what these divisions show is that, again, the scheduling, this is what I'm trying to show you guys. The schedule is not as hard as these SEC fanboys make it seem. Oklahoma would be playing in conference 9 games. You get 2 from the other side. With a 16-team conference, you got 8 in your division. That's 7 division games, 2 non-division games. We'll pick at random, give them Florida and Kentucky. You could get Florida, Kentucky, you could get Bama, Vandy, Auburn, Tennessee, South Carolina, Georgia. It's unlikely you're going to get Bama, Georgia in the same season. Unlikely you're going to get Georgia, Florida in the same season. Unfortunately for Arkansas, they had to get that last year. Sorry, Arkansas, that really sucked for you guys. Unfortunately, Arkansas has not very much been able to dig out of that hole since joining the SEC, but they've got more money. And, of course, Arkansas is not Texas. I feel like people think that Texas would be like Arkansas. Not sure where they're getting that. Texas is not Arkansas. Texas is much, much bigger than Arkansas. So that 16-team SEC would provide a schedule tougher than the Big 12 schedule, of course. Much tougher, but not the super, super, super gauntlet that people say. And what we've seen here, made by Kyle Umlong on Twitter, he has aligned the conferences into super conferences of four. We're going to take a look at the rest of those conferences. So I actually, the SEC, I did the West and East thing earlier today. Then I saw online everyone started doing it. So, you know, I'll take my credit there. I did think of that. You know, so hard to think of it. It's geographic. Geographical, you know. I'm a genius for it. I know. We got the Pac-16. So this, by the way, this gives us the Power 5, all 16-team divisions, which that's the top 80 programs, presumably. And the Pac-16, this is who we see. In the North Division, Washington, Washington State, Utah, BYU, Oregon, Oregon State, Boise State, Colorado. That's a pretty good division. You know, of course, it's not a superpower division, but for a that's a pretty strong college football division there. Adding in BYU and Boise State would be very cool. I'm intrigued by that. Then you got the Pac-16 South Division with some other new additions from the Big 12. Here you got USC, UCLA, Cal, Stanford, Arizona, Arizona State, Texas Tech, TCU. Again, it's not a fantastic division, but it's a pretty good division. It would be pretty interesting to see how that played out. Let's go on to the reincarnation of the Big 12, which now, after losing Oklahoma, Texas Tech, and TCU, and West Virginia, they've gotten the ACC here, as it should be. Let's take a look at the Big 12. Colorado State, Air Force, Oklahoma State, Tulsa, Kansas State, Wyoming, Memphis, and Cincinnati make up the North Division. That is a pretty terrible division. That is not Power 5 worthy at all. Again, I need to make sure this is known. Just because Cincinnati had a great year, just because Memphis went to the Cotton Bowl 2 years ago, does not mean that they are power programs. They're not going to do that every year. It's not a regular thing. So really, the only school I'm expecting anything from in that whole division of eight teams is Oklahoma State to be above average every single year. That's pretty pathetic of that in that division. That is not a Power 5 division. In the South Division of the Big 12, we got Houston, Baylor, USF, UCF, La Tech, SMU, Rice, UNT. Again, terrible division. This one has somehow managed to be even worse. And I'm not trying to devalue. This is a really cool thing that this guy made up these divisions. I'm just saying that this new Big 12 of 16 teams, it would not fit in with the super conference stigma. It would be more of a group of five sort of conference. Then we're going to the Big Ten, the Big Ten West. They add those teams I was talking about from the Big 12, which I think they could be looking at. Although I don't know if the Big Ten is willing to add more teams. We'll see. But it would be pretty interesting. Not the best division in terms of football, but interesting, I guess, nonetheless. More interesting than the Big 12 divisions. We've got Kansas, Iowa State, Iowa, Northwestern, Nebraska, Illinois, Wisconsin, Minnesota. It's pretty decent. It's a decent division. It's like similar to the Pac-12 divisions. It's decent. It doesn't scream at you. Power division, like the new SEC divisions would, but it's interesting. Then we got the Big Ten East, which is the I would consider to be by far the toughest division outside of the SEC. That's got Michigan, Michigan State, Ohio State, Penn State, Rutgers, Maryland, Indiana, and Purdue. Of course, you got four teams in there who are meh, may have a good year here and there, or for the most part not be good at all. But then having Michigan, Ohio State, Michigan State, and Penn State in the same division is pretty big. Very big major programs there. To the ACC is pretty similar to how it already is. They have Notre Dame now in the ACC, West Virginia now in the ACC. I would, again, as I said, I would like to see Notre Dame in the Big Ten if they were to join a conference. They have more history playing the Big Ten schools. They're more relative in location, and it would be very cool to see them there. But regardless, we got the ACC North Division with Virginia, Virginia Tech, Notre Dame, West Virginia, Louisville, Syracuse, BC, and Pitt. So again, pretty good division. That's a solid college football division there. South Division, Florida State, Georgia Tech, Duke, Clemson, Miami, Wake Forest, North Carolina, NC State. Another one, pretty good division. These are really interesting. Pretty cool that this guy made it so quickly. But that's just a little bit of a potential, I guess, outlook on what the country could look like in a few years or so after this major change. We're still going to be looking for more updates on the situation. I am just completely blindsided here, really. For saying there's nothing going on in the off season, then we had the playoff expansion, and I was like, all right, this is good. Talked about for a while, and now this, I mean, honestly, this is so overwhelming. Because I just did not expect this. This is just an absolute shock to me, that this is real. I mean, they only announced a few days ago. This is real. We're going to be in the SEC in a few years at most. This is happening. The money is coming for these programs. Unfortunately, it's almost always down to money. If and when we leave the Big 12, I'll be sad because the rivalries and frenemies we got in the Big 12 will be missed. And of course, location is not great for Oklahoma. Norman is not very close to any SEC schools. The closest one would be Arkansas at 3.5 hours of a drive. Not ideal for traveling. So that would definitely be a downside of being the furthest westmost team in the conference. But I guess it's out of my control. Speaking of Oklahoma, though, not like we haven't talked about too much, have we? We've got another 5-star receiver, Crystal Ball, now to Oklahoma. Wide receiver DeAndre Moore Jr. Is now Crystal Ball to Oklahoma by Parker Thune, the Oklahoma Insider. This is given with a confidence of 6. He's the number 17 player in the country, number 2 receiver, and the top player in the state of Nevada. The amount of receivers that are now Crystal Ball to Oklahoma in 23 is absurd. I believe it is the top 4 receivers in the 23 class are all now Crystal Ball to Oklahoma. Let's go take a look at that real quick. Player rankings of 23. We have got, as we talked about, we already mentioned this in the last episode, Brandon Is, Jalen Hale, and we did already mention DeAndre Moore, but now he has the Crystal Ball. It was more before it was low confidence Crystal Ball. Now it's gone up by Thune, because Brennan Drum put in the last one that was at a 5 confidence, and it was over a month ago. And we've also got Makai Lemon out of Los Alamitos, same place as Malachi Nelson. That's his quarterback. He has announced he will be committing on August 7th. And he has been given a Crystal Ball to Oklahoma. So, again, this is showing that if the Sooners can recruit like this in the Big 12, imagine what could happen in the SEC. I want to be clear. I don't hate Texas A&M. Don't like them. I don't hate them, I guess. But I can't stand the fact that I'm seeing A&M students and whatnot posting on Instagram trying to be cocky. Like, their school, they don't realize that their school is so afraid of Texas. That has to be said. Unfortunately, does that mean I'm signing with Texas here? I guess so. Texas A&M is afraid of Texas. And that is a fact. But all love to the Aggies. Unless we, you know, till we move to the SEC, then unfortunately that love's going to be going away. Can't be loving on a conference rival. And to Texas, you know, I guess we're moving together, you know, I guess we're stuck together, whatever. You know, we want to be playing Texas every year, of course. That's the thing too. It's like, why? I don't understand why. Either way you want to look at it, if you want to say A&M didn't want to play Texas or Texas didn't want to play A&M, it was reported Texas didn't want to play him in 2012. We're not going to really go into that detail there. It's whatever. It's like, you should want to play your rival. I don't understand not wanting to play your rival on either part. So hopefully that rivalry will be renewed soon, Texas versus Texas A&M, and we will get to see them duke it out and really settle it on the field. So thank you guys so much for listening today. I'm sorry if I have talked about Oklahoma so much in the past few episodes. They have just been in the news a lot recently. Really, again, sorry. Hope I'm not showing too much bias to y'all. Hope y'all are still staying interested. And until next time, this has been the committee, home of college football. And we're, next episode, we will likely be talking about potentially after the decision is already made that Texas and Oklahoma are in the SEC. So we will see next time where we stand.